The future of reporting now.
This is Concordia News Radio.
Good morning. It's currently 14 degrees and cloudy in Montreal. I'm Bogdan Litvinenko, and here are today's headlines. Montreal's anti-curfew protest turns violent last night. Retail workers quit their jobs as customers refuse to follow COVID guidelines. And local neo-soul artist Madeline Day shares her journey towards success. Hundreds of people converged on the Old Port last night to protest the curfew being moved back to 8 p.m. Protesters lit fires and smashed windows along Notre-Dame Street West. Our reporter Evan Lindsay is there this morning. Hi, Evan. Where are you exactly and what are things looking like?
Hi, Bogdan. So I'm standing in front of Place Jean Cartier right now. I can see some construction crews working. It looks pretty quiet down here right now. I don't think you would be able to tell that there was a massive protest last night. But when you do walk down some of the side streets and up Notre Dame West, there's broken glass all over the place. You can see broken windows. Some windows are boarded up. I can see where the fire was lit last night, where there's construction crews working. And I spoke with Katia O'Hayan, who owns Tangerini, which is a shoe store on Notre Dame West. And she says that she's just devastated right now. She doesn't understand why this would happen to her and other small business owners, especially considering the past year that they've had. She knows the people are out here protesting the curfew, but she doesn't see how that had to spill over into them vandalizing things, spray painting revolution on buildings and breaking her windows and robbing her business. She says she's extremely afraid. She won't be sleeping tonight. She'll probably stay in the store and be ready because people are concerned that this could happen again tonight and in the future. She also added to me when I spoke to her that she wants to see more done by the city. She's not impressed with Valerie Plante this morning speaking out and just saying, oh, this behavior is unacceptable. She hasn't seen any help, any support from the city, the SPVM. She was here by herself until 2 a.m. last night sweeping up glass. And she wants to see some more support from the city right now. So that's kind of what's going on down here as people begin to clean up and recover from last night, Bogdan.
Thank you very much, Evan. That was our reporter, Evan Lindsay, from Concordia News. The latest COVID-19 numbers have just been released by the Quebec government. The province has now lost over 10,744 lives over the course of the pandemic. In the past 24 hours, there have been zero new deaths and 1,599 new cases were confirmed. 630 people are currently in the hospital for COVID-19 related complications, an increase of 22 in the past 24 hours. Meanwhile, in Colombia, a 104-year-old woman has recovered from COVID-19 for the second time in 10 months. The survivor's name is Carmen Hernandez, and she's currently in excellent physical shape, according to her doctor. After her 21-day treatment, Hernandez has already been released from the hospital located just outside of the capital, Bogota. Now the woman is back in her retirement residence, not letting the deadly pandemic affect her ordinary life. Throughout the many different restrictions and lockdowns we've had, some businesses have consistently stayed open. Employees who work in customer service have had to deal with people on a daily basis. This can be very difficult when people don't follow COVID precautions. Our reporter, Julia Palin, is here to tell us more. Hi, Julia. Can you tell us about where you work?
Hi, Bogdan. So I've worked in ADEP for over 6 months now, and I just put in my 2 weeks notice because it's been a really stressful work environment. Some customers don't really respect some COVID precautions that we've put in place, things such as simple as putting on a mask, disinfecting your hands. And this has been going on kind of the whole time I've been working there, but it's been a lot worse recently since the weather's gotten better. And, you know, to be honest, this is really difficult for not only me, but all customer workers to deal with, to be exposed every single day as your job.
So can you explain what a typical shift looks like in terms of dealing with customers?
Yeah, absolutely. So obviously, I don't jot down every single statistic, every single shift, but approximately 1 out of 3 customers, I will have to remind to either disinfect their hands or wear their mask properly. I've had people come in with no masks. I've had people come in with scarves as masks, in which case I don't know whether or not to correct them, to kick them out. I don't really know what to do because some places are more lenient. I've had a lot of people, the most common one is coming in and not disinfecting your hands, which then results at me having to yell at them across the counter to disinfect their hands, which is not pleasant for me or for them. There's only 2 people allowed at the dépanneur where I work currently, and it's a dépanneur right off of Le Parc La Fontaine, where we also sell gelato. So it's a pretty popular destination when it's sunny out, and there have been just consistent lines outside every single day. And our disinfectant is right in front of the door, so there really is no excuse to miss it. And I know that this is not just my own personal experience. Many other customer service workers feel the same. Dorsa Ashin quit her job at North Face in September, the North Face that was located on St. Catherine. And this is how she described her situation last summer.
At some point during the summer, it started getting really, really busy, and people were starting to get booter and booter.
So in her store, the restrictions were 20 people at a time, masks and disinfect your hands, changing rooms were closed, and employees had to disinfect every surface every hour. And in addition to this, every time a customer tried on a piece of merchandise, that merchandise had to be quarantined for 48 hours. But eventually, the store just got so busy that they couldn't even follow that last precaution.
By August and September, there were so many people coming into the store that we're trying so many stuff that we couldn't quarantine anymore.
Now, what impact does this have on people like you and Dorsa?
So to be fully honest, I get really stressed out. So like I said at the beginning, when I started talking, I just put in my 2 weeks notice, and, you know, Dorsa has quit her job, and everybody else who I've talked to about the issue has either put in their 2 weeks or quit. It should be noted that employees are more at risk since they are exposed to the same potentially contaminated air for longer, whereas customers come in sporadically and stay for maybe maximum half an hour. And employees are exposed to this to that air for 8 hours. And again, this is not just my personal experience.
Just realizing how many people were coming in and out, like, it made me feel a little bit overwhelmed. And also everyone was touching everything. So like, you become hyper aware of like how everything like could be contaminated.
And similarly to what Dorsa said, I also feel that over analyzing of how every single customer is touching a bottle of beer or a door handle, and, you know, thinking of just how many people have touched that, thinking of how many times I come in contact with someone who's touched that door handle, and just thinking of how quickly COVID-19 can, you know, spread. And so just on a final note, you know, I'm aware that going out to run errands is mainly everybody's only interaction of the day. And just like anybody else, I'm not going to stop doing my groceries or going out when I need to. But, you know, there's no reason not to be kind to those employees. They are stressed and they are there for work and they are, you know, putting themselves at risk. So, you know, why not be kind? There's no need to make it worse for them.
Well, thank you for the update, Juliet.
Thank you for having me.
That was our reporter, Juliet Palin. Moving now to international news. In the Caribbean, the island of St. Vincent is currently covered in ashes following a volcano eruption on Friday. La Soufrière, the island's only active volcano, forced 16,000 people to leave their homes, making it the most impactful eruption in St. Vincent since 1979. St. Vincent's Prime Minister Ralph Gonsalves says that his nation is having difficulty breathing and that it will take the island at least 4 months to fully recover from the disaster. According to scientists, St. Vincent might have to brace for further impact. They're warning the nation that an even bigger eruption is entirely possible in the coming weeks. Tensions are currently rising near the Russian-Ukrainian border as Russia increases its military presence in the area. Videos across social media have shown Russian armored convoys approaching the border in the past few days, which include tanks, rocket launchers, and thousands of military troops. Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky has called on NATO and the United States to support Ukraine's territorial integrity. Meanwhile, the Kremlin warns that any interference from NATO would escalate tensions further and, quote, prompt Russia to take additional measures to protect itself. Russia's military buildup is less than 150 kilometers away from Kharkiv, Ukraine's second largest city with 1.6 million inhabitants. Ukraine has already lost control of Donetsk, a city of 1 million, in 2014 in a war against Russia-backed separatists in the east. So now the country is on maximum alert as the threat of yet another Russian annexation arises once more. With the school year coming to an end, many student athletes will be wrapping up their last practices with their teammates. Many will be moving on to other things, different careers and different paths. As Michelle Malmasti reports, it's not always an easy transition.
For many, the transition from being a student athlete to someone in the real world, as many athletes call it, it can be quite challenging. Tanisha Gittins is Concordia University's women basketball coach. She says it was no different from when she graduated from Hofstra University in New York with a degree in marketing.
When I graduated from university, I was like, you know what? You know, I thought I was going into corporate America. I had my job lined up. I was finance company in New York. I was doing all, it was great. That's what I wanted to do. I wanted to do marketing, advertising. You know, that was my thing. You know, try to get some money, you know, and I'll sign the deals, you know? I got bored.
After her discontent with what seemed to be her dream job at the time, Gittins moved back to Canada, where she started coaching the high school boys basketball team at St. George's School of Montreal. Originally, she didn't want to be a coach, but coaching was the best way for her to get back to the sport she left.
I know I wake up in the morning, you know, we got our 6 a.m. workouts. From that, I'm going to go eat my, you know, we're going to eat our breakfast, come back, maybe get some shots up, maybe go to class. Now I went to class. You know, you come back, you got your weights, you got practice. You know, there's a routine and you know what the outcome's going to be, you know, kind of at the end. And it's just like it's a job, but it's not. It's something that we love doing. And we know, you kind of know the results that you're going to get is strictly what, you know, you put in. And so sometimes you get former players that don't transition as well out of sports.
Whether it be by having team counseling sessions every Wednesday, supporting one of your athletes to speak out about the RSEQ sent around Black Lives Matter, or simply having her office open to her athletes whenever they need, Kaitlyn tries to support her athletes on and off the court.
I just want to be a coach that they know that supports them and with everything, and it's going to help them achieve their goals, whatever they is, on the court, off the court, in the classroom, in society. As long as I have the ability to, then I'm going to help them grow.
She hopes that for her athletes that won't be returning, that they can continue on their path and find success in whatever they decide to do. For Concordia News, I'm Michelle Malnasi.
Madeline Day is a 21-year-old neo-soul artist based in Montreal. Her first EP, Davy Street, was released on March 5th and has already accumulated nearly 50,000 total streams on Spotify. Our reporter, Anna Justin, spoke with the singer about her journey as an artist.
Here's the ivy that's grown up around me. I stood still so long, I'm a statue in his house. Still I can't move out. These roots are in the ground, they're tying me down.
Clockwork is the most personal of all of them. That one is very emotional to sing. I had a very on and off again relationship, and that's what I think Clockwork says for me.
It's just like clockwork, you and me.
So I'm Madeline Dorian. I go by Madeline Day. I was born in Ashford in the UK, so in England. I lived there until I was 8, and then I moved to Vancouver Island, Victoria. And I'm currently living in downtown Montreal, Quebec. I'm in third year studying psychology and anthropology at McGill, and I would love to be a kindergarten teacher if music doesn't work out. There's a lot of things I love doing in my spare time, but music is absolutely sort of a driving force that keeps me sane throughout it all.
Madeline Day has been singing semi-professionally since she was 14. When she started high school, she got the chance to be part of the Vic High R&B band, which had gigs on most weekends.
I was hired out of that into an actual professional band. It was called the Midnights, and they toured Denmark. I went down to Nashville and Memphis when I was about 17, 18, got to play a ton of hard rock cafes, done weddings, jazz fests across Canada. And things like that, which has all been so amazing for me. I love performing live. It's probably my favorite part of singing and playing music.
Madeline has been writing her own songs since she was about 10 years old. When she was 14, she started performing her songs at local open mic nights.
But I've never recorded properly in a studio my own music until this past year. When I was 20, and I finally sort of took some of the tunes I'd been working on for a couple of years and then wrote some new ones last summer, and that's what built the EP, the Davie Street EP, that was released this year.
Madeline released Davie Street only 3 months after her first ever single, Golden, which also appears on the EP.
I haven't slept in days. This pillow talk's been keeping.
Golden is my favorite. It's my favorite to sing and listen to. I really tried to capture like this honeymoon phase, this high on the relationship, this everything is perfect and sunny and lovely. I was in a long relationship all through my high school years, and then coming out of that and moving into a new city when I came to university, things like that, kind of that high school romance, that first love, what it felt like going into that and coming out of that is what I tried to encompass in Davie Street, because that's very much what I was going through when I was writing those tunes. So we kind of built the Davie Street EP in a way that, for me at least, kind of told the story from start to finish.
When you listen to Davie Street beginning to end, you really do feel that longing and that push and pull of a relationship blossoming and coming to an end. You'll have to listen to the EP on your own to fully understand what I mean. Madeline's lyrics, melodies, and vocal performance bring you into her world, and the progression of the storytelling throughout the songs is especially powerful. The EP begins with Hold Me Down, which tells the story of the beginning of her relationship. It's followed by Golden, Clockwork, and then Get Over It, a song about moving on from the perpetual clockwork-like cycle of her former relationship. The last song on the EP is called Naive. Madeline called it a little lullaby. It's a 1-minute interlude about the complexity of relationships. The first 4 songs on the EP were recorded in a studio in Victoria with a live band.
We played with a band that was comprised of some of the best local musicians on the island from Nanaimo and Victoria. And then we did 4 days in the studio back to back and did all the songs. We sort of built them up from the demos and played them live off the floor, and that's how we recorded it.
The lullaby interlude, Naive, was the only song that they didn't record in the studio. The track that appears on the EP is actually a demo.
When the honey gets left out too long, it goes hard.
It was exactly a minute long when we wrote it. And I kind of stopped and said, you know, I don't have any more lyrics for this, and I don't think it needs anything else. I think we should just let it end and let it be what it is. And we put it on there because we really loved it.
Madeline is currently planning the release of a new single called Eggs, as well as the release of an acoustic version of Clockwork, which I am so excited for. She also collaborated with EDM artist Steve Kroeger on a song that is very different from her other work, but just as enjoyable. It's called Lost With Me and will be released on April 30th. But in the meantime, I highly recommend that you go give the Davie Street EP a listen.
In day.
Again, that was Madeline Day. For Concordia News, I'm Anna Justin.
Mirando las estrellas, me acordé de ti y me pregunté.
That was Treyas from Bad Bunny's The Last Tour of the World album. The artist has just announced he will be touring next year. Here's our reporter, Amanda DeFillo, with a review on Bad Bunny and his music.
Benito Martinez Ocasio, better known as Latin sensation Bad Bunny, is a Puerto Rican reggaeton Latin trap artist. He was the most streamed Spotify artist of 2020 with more than 8.3 billion streams. Ocasio has been growing in popularity during the recent years and has quickly become one of the most influential Latin American artists out there. Ocasio has won one Grammy Award and two Latin Grammys. Last November, Bad Bunny released his album El Último Tour del Mundo, The Last Tour of the World. This album was a change of pace for him. It was much more experimental than his previous works. It gave off the usual reggaeton and trap, but also felt very alternative, especially when looking back at Ocasio's work. Personally, I loved his album and found the deviation from his regular work quite thrilling. I think it just showed a little bit more of his creative scope and what he's capable of putting out there. He's definitely the guy I want to listen to at a party, but he's also the guy I want to listen to after a breakup. His music really can go from incredible party music to more emotional tracks. If you want to make the comparison yourself, you can just listen to the entirety of his latest album, and you'll see the variety within the very album. But with Bad Bunny, it's not just about the music. He's constantly breaking gender norms. He's not afraid to wear whatever he pleases. He even has a song dedicated to exactly this called Yo Visto Así, or I Dress Like This. In it, Bunny says, I dress like this and I'm not gonna change. This song struck a chord. My whole life, people have been wanting to tell me how to dress, normally because to them, I'm not girly enough. So hearing Ocasio sing about this really brought me joy and kind of just reminded me that I can do whatever I want and it shouldn't really bother anyone, especially when we're talking about clothes and stuff. He's just very important to me, and not really just his music, but like him as a person. He never shies away from addressing important issues with his work and platform. In 2020, Bad Bunny wore a shirt to a performance on Jimmy Fallon that read, Mataron a Alexa, no un hombre con falda. They killed Alexa, not a man with a skirt. Ocasio did this to pay tribute to trans woman
Alexa Negron Luciano, who was killed in Puerto Rico.
The same year, Bunny had released Yo Perreo Sola, a song about women dancing alone. The end of his video had a title card which read, If she doesn't want to dance with you, respect her. She dances alone. If anything I just said piqued your interest regarding Bad Bunny, I'd definitely give him a listen and even watch some of his videos. Just yesterday, he announced his 2022 El Último Tour del Mundo tour. And on March 23rd, Bad Bunny will be performing at the Bell Center in Montreal. So be sure to check him out beforehand. And for those of you who already enjoy his music, be sure not to miss out. Amanda De Fillo, Concordia News, Santo Domingo.
That is your news at 11:55. Thank you for listening. For Concordia News, I'm Bogdan Litvinenko.